You may be seated. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go to the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" And the disciples then did as Jesus had ordered, and they prepared the Passover.
When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and giving it to his disciples, said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many. I tell you, from now on, I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Then Jesus said to them, "This night, all of you will have your faith in me shaken. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee." And Peter said to him in reply, "Though all may have their faith in you shaken, mine will never be." And Jesus said to him, "Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said to him, "Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples spoke likewise. And then Jesus came to them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. And then he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death. Remain here and keep watch with me." He advanced a little further and fell over prostrate in prayer, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will." And then he returned to his disciples, and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, "So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again, "My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, your will be done." Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and the elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying, "The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him." Immediately he went over to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus answered him, "Friend, do what you have come for." Then stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand to his sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its sheath, for all you who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father, and he will not provide me at this moment with more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must come to pass in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as if against a robber, with swords and clubs, to seize me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching you, yet you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass, that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance as far as the high priest's courtyard, and going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward who stated, "This man said, 'I can destroy the temple of God and within 3 days rebuild it.'" The high priest rose and addressed him, "Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?" But Jesus was silent. And then the high priest said to him, "I order you to tell us under oath before the living God whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him in reply, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his ribs and he said, "He has blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?" And they said in reply, "He deserves to die." And then they spat in his face and they struck him. And while some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy for us, Christ. Who is it that struck you?"
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it in front of everyone, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." As he went out to the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them. Even your speech gives you away." At that he began to curse and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? Look to it yourself." Flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money, but said, "It is not lawful to deposit this in the temple treasury, for it is the price of blood." After consultation, they used it to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why that field, even today, is called the Field of Blood. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man, with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and he questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You say so." And then he was accused by the chief priests and the elders. He made no answer. And so Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?" But Jesus did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had the notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus the Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that the priest had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they answered, "Barabbas." And Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus called the Christ?" And they all said, "Let him be crucified." But he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" And they only shouted louder, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and he washed his hands in sight of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves." And the whole of the people said in reply, "His blood will be on us and upon our children." And then Pilate released Barabbas to them. But after that, he had Jesus scourged, and he handed him over to be crucified.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak upon him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross.
And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. And then they sat down to keep watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and the elders mocked him and said, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and now we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way.
From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders who heard it said, "This one is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save him." But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit.
And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening. And they said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. And then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance to the tomb, and he departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there, facing the tomb.
The next day, the one following the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that this impostor, while still alive, said, 'After 3 days, I will be raised up.' Give orders, then, that the grave be secured until the third day, lest his disciples come and steal him and say to the people, 'He has been raised from the dead.' This last impostor would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "The guard is yours. Go, secure it as best you can." So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and setting the gourd.
We are coming to the end of our Lenten waiting, not the happy waiting of Advent, but a more fearful kind of waiting, filled with some anxiety. We entered into the passion and the death of Jesus. We know the story of Jesus' death, how he allowed himself to be handled, beaten, mocked, and spit upon. as a child, seeing Jesus suffering on a cross really disturbed me in many ways. I believe that I was personally responsible for every bite of the whip, every hammer of the nail. In my distress, I realized I could solve the problem. I could end that suffering. So I found a screwdriver, and I tearfully pried the body off the cross. Some of you may have had similar feelings of guilt. It still disturbs me to dwell on suffering Jesus, on Jesus on the cross. That's where we see the vulnerability of God and the willingness of God to suffer with us and for us. The idea of God suffering disturbs and unsettles us. For more than 200 years after Jesus' death, Christians were mocked and jeered at by those around him because they worshipped a God who had been crucified. That was the most scandalous way to die. How could reasonable people worship a God who had allowed that to happen to himself? If our God so suffers, is so exposed to the brutality of the world, what will become of us? We also believe that we are called to share in that suffering of Jesus, to share in the suffering of the many peoples of the world. Today, we begin the awesome and most terrifying time in the church year. Now we begin our vigil. We wait. We stand beside and with the very human suffering of Jesus, who loves and suffers with us, beside us, and for us. We can stand with our God as we stand with and beside the children, the women and men who suffer in our world, God's world, the poor, the oppressed, the excluded, the abused, battered women, homeless men, those who believe as we do, and those who believe differently, and those who are afraid to believe. We stand and we wait with our love to cast the rays of light upon the darkness in the world. We look at and acknowledge the suffering while we wait with the promise of resurrection. If you have any prayer petitions, you can come up and give them now.